welcome to our program. Today we're going to be taking a quick trip through 1 Peter. If you have your Bible ready, it'll help a lot. Things were changing, the old landmarks were removed, and Peter was concerned about the remnant, those who really wanted to live for the Lord. Stay tuned for our program. Wondering how your day is going. Perhaps you're having some hard struggles along the way. We all do, from one day to the next. And when those times come along, here's a message and song that's been a real blessing to my heart over the years. I hope it'll bless your heart today, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. Protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me. Tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promised.
I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. As we mentioned and we began the program, as Peter sits down to write here, things were changing. The old landmarks had been removed. The early church, as it once was on fire, was now getting away from God. And Peter was very concerned for the remnant. That is that small group of people who really wanted to do what God said to do. At the time, Nero was persecuting the Christians, and of course they were having opposition from the Jews as well. And Peter has a message for an age of persecution and an age of apostasy. And the persecution was coming from without, and the apostasy, that is God's people turning their back on God's word, that was coming from within. And so Peter writes to these people. He says, he refers to them as the strangers who were scattered. They were scattered because of the persecution. And down in verse 11, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. There's a little chorus, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. That ought to be the focus of every Christian as we go through the situation in this world today, as strangers and pilgrims, those who our home is not here, it is in heaven. A little word about the elect here. I don't want to get into that. We have a whole series of messages on it and a book on it. You can download it all for free from our internet, our website. But he's referring to Israel here, obviously. In chapter 2 and verse number 2, he talks to these people as having their conversation or manner of life honest among the Gentiles. And so he's obviously talking to Israel. And quite often when you look at the word elect in the Bible, it's referring to Israel, or it's referring to service. It never, ever refers to salvation. God has not elected some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That is heresy that originated in hell itself. When it comes to salvation, if you go down through and read carefully verses 3 through verse 8 here, of 1 Peter, you'll see that in verse 5 he says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then down in verse number 9 he talks about receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, when the Bible talks about salvation, it talks about two different aspects of it. One has to do with salvation concerning the spirit, and one has to do with salvation concerning the soul. When we're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we get under conviction there, and then we decide we're either going to repent or reject the Lord. One of those two has to happen at that point. And so when it's talking about salvation concerning being saved so as to be born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit deals with our spirit. However, when we get down to verse number 9, we read about receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, as mentioned, when we get saved so as to go to heaven, the Bible says the Holy Spirit deals with our spirit. Now, it's talking about dealing with our souls as Christians. Peter was writing to some people who were scattered because of the persecution. They were facing the pressures of life as Christians, and he is talking about their faith, making it possible for them to have the victory over those circumstances that they were facing, namely persecution that was going rampant in those days. In verse number 13, he talks about our responsibility, and then in verse number 14, he talks about our relationship. In 13, we read, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. That word has been translated understanding three times. He said to them, you need to understand the bigger picture. He said, be sober. That word has been translated watch twice. Be sober, watch, and hope to the end. Now, that word hope doesn't mean, oh, I sure hope it works out. It actually means expectation. In fact, it has been translated trust 18 times. Trust to the end. Now, that doesn't mean, well, work it through here for the next 10 years or whenever the end is, and, hope to the end. That's not what it's saying here. This word means hope to the extent that it's not possible to hope anymore. Hope completely for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or expect or trust completely is what this word is talking about. So there's our responsibility. But then in verse 14, he talks about our relationship. And he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, it's an interesting thing that Peter would bring up how they're dressing here. He's got a new focus here, and the focus is on fashions. And he's saying that obedient children are not going to fashion themselves according to their former lusts as they did before. It is interesting that in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Lord says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, that ye may but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says back here in verse number 14, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts. The word conformed here, when he's talking about the body in verse number 2 of Romans chapter 12, is the same word translated fashioning back here in 1 Peter number 14. It is also interesting that when Paul wrote to the pastor at Ephesus in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9 and 10, he said, like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel. He's concerned here about how people dress, even at a time when he's writing to them and he's trying to encourage them about their responsibilities, but he wants to keep the forefront about their relationship with the Lord. And what it boils down to here is whether or not we're going to be willing to do what God wants us to do with our bodies. Now, our bodies, there's a lot more to it than just what we wear. There's what we hear. There's what we see. There's what goes in the brain. There's all kinds of things. And he says, present your body a living sacrifice. But then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so it's a matter, really, of the heart. In Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, the word heart is mentioned 47 times. It's a matter of the heart whether we're going to go with these standards or not. And it's a matter of the heart as to whether we get our standards from the Word of God or we get them from the magazine racks that we find in a grocery store. It's a matter of the heart. The Bible commands us as Christians, both men and women, to present our bodies as acceptable unto God. And the thing is, if our heart is right, we will say, now, yes, I am going to do what God wants me to do. I realize this is a hot potato. People don't like you talking about standards. Well, just for the record, I didn't write this. Let me read it again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. I didn't write it. That's what God said. Well, someone says, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. Yeah, it's sort of like thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not commit adultery. That's Old Testament stuff too. So is it okay now if we commit adultery and kill people? Of course not. And we have some principles here, and these principles are exactly the same for us today as they were for God's people in the Old Testament age. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, we read, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Now there, he's directly quoting from the book of Leviticus. For these New Testament saints, he says, here's a verse for you. Be ye holy as I am holy. This word conversation means manner of life, how we conduct ourselves and how we behave. So he says he's called them to be holy. He's called us to be holy as God is holy. Well, we might say, well, that's not possible. Well, it is if we understand what we're talking about here. The word holy simply means to be separated from what God would be separated from. It's just that simple. Now, when we get down into verse number 17, again, he says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, it says, without respect of persons. So that means that God doesn't have one set of standards for one Christian and another set of standards for someone else. He is impartial. Everyone is being treated equally. That's God's nature. And so whatever the standards are, they're the same for all of us. What we need to do is simply study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we get into chapter 2, he's talking about separation. Wherefore, he says, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, when a baby comes into this world, he is separated from his previous life within the womb. And so he says, as newborn babes, you need to grow up now. And it's going to depend entirely on what we desire. He says down here in verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A chosen generation. Now, for the Old Testament period, that was Israel. In this age in which we're living now, it's the Christian. He says, we are chosen to be a peculiar people. Oh, we want to be peculiar. We want to fit in with those Christ rejectors. That's really kind of stupid. Then we get down here in the next area, and it talks about submission. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, verse 13. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters. Then we get down into chapter 3, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And it's talking about their attitude, but when we get a little further down here, Peter comes back to the attire. He says, whose adorning, let it be not of the outward adorning, or the plaiting of the hair, and of the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. See, it's all about the heart. And then in verse number 5, he focuses again on those holy women who trusted in God and adorned themselves accordingly. Must be very important here. He keeps bringing it up. The next area that he talks about is suffering. In chapter 3, verse number 14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Down in verse number 18, Christ also once suffered for our sins. Chapter 4 and verse number 1 focuses on the fact that Christ has suffered once again. And then in verse number 13, but rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. But, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Then, as he concludes, he focuses on shepherding. The rules for a shepherd, he says in chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2, basically this, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock. The rules for the sheep, verses 5 and on through, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And then there's a reward. Humility is required, but humility is also rewarded. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then finally he focuses on Satan. He says in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then he focuses not only on watching, but on winning. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye had suffered for a while, make you perfect or complete, established, strengthened, and settled, he says here in verse number 10, verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, we said when we began this program, we're going to take a quick trip through 1 Peter, and we certainly have done that. We've looked at the subject of salvation, the scriptures, sanctification, separation, submission, suffering, shepherding, and of course, watching out for Satan, because he's seeking whom he may devour. In our next program, we're going to look at 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, he focuses on Christians who are suffering. And 2 Peter, he focuses on Christians who are being seduced by the false prophets of the day. These are more harmful than the ones who would cause us to suffer from without, because the false prophets are working within. We'll look at that in our next broadcast. If you'd be interested in the notes that we have here, as I said, we have skimmed through this very quickly. These notes are available if you want them. Just drop us a line and email, and we'll be glad to send them to you if you're interested in having them. In the meantime, here's another message and song that I hope will be a blessing to your soul.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you. And me.